the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
All right, it's time to talk hurling. An interesting weekend ahead in the Allianz Hurling Leagues, and joined on the line by Tommy Walsh. Evening, Tommy.
Hey, Nathan.
Word on the street is you're still celebrating down in Tullerone.
No.
You haven't been seen it work in a month.
I wasn't seen a month before either. To say. No, we gave it a good week in fairness, but kind of died down since now, thank God.
You've pretty much every medal at this stage. Did you ever get a Fitzgibbon Cup medal?
No, the Fitzgibbon Cup was a tough one to win, and unfortunately we never won it. I was down in UCC for 4 years. You know, definitely one of the best experiences hurling-wise and even life-wise that I've went through. Went down there as 2001 as an 18-year-old, down to UCC, and just a sports-mad college. I loved it. You know, four of the best years of my life. Those big, strong, you know, GA. Like, even when they won the Fitzgibbon Cup last night, Nathan, I was looking, watching it on the internet, and, like, all the same lads are still involved. And this is, like, 19, 20 years later.
All the same coaches and...
Same. I'm sure, kind of, coaches, and that might change, you know, from year to year, or every couple of years, but the same guys are in the background team. Like, so selectors and, you know, doctors and kind of running the whole organisation. Like, seeing John Granger last night, I think he is he would have hurled with Nicky English. I think they could have won five or six Fitzgibbon Cups. And Paddy Crowley, who's with Micro Helmets there as well. And he's still the doctor down there, seen running in, helping a lad last night. And that's UCC. They're like a club in itself. And, you know, it was heartbreaking last night for Carlo IT. My heart did go out to him. Like, Carlo IT, or like when I was hurling Fitzgibbon Cup, they were really a nobody, really, I suppose. And now they're in Fitzgibbon Cup finals and semi-finals, you know, nearly every year. So there's huge work going on down in Carlo IT. But yeah, no, I never won a Fitzgibbon Cup is the answer.
UCC obviously have an incredible history in the Fitzgibbon Cup. Last night, the victory over IT Carlo was their 40th win in the Fitzgibbon Cup. When you think back to 20 years ago and, like all 17-year-olds, you're filling out your CEO form and you're thinking about what you're going to do in third-level education. Was hurling very much to the forefront of your mind when you were deciding to go to UCC?
Yeah, that's just the main reason, I say, really. You know, I loved Christy Ring at that time. You know, Cork hurling, Cork and Kenny hurling, you know, they got on really well at that stage. You know, that was kind of the 90s, I suppose. There were two counties that were known really as the stylists, I'd say, at the time. Tipperary were kind of, you know, the tough team, really, going back to the team of the 60s and that. But Kilkenny and Cork, you know, they're very much alike. And Dennis Philpott was a teacher in Kearns, and he used to have a great saying, you go try and get the ball as if you love it, and you hit it like you hate it. And he was just really, really good. And he had connections down in UCC, and, you know, was telling us a bit about the history there. So, yeah. Went down there mostly for the hurling, and I wasn't let down, really. Hurling-wise, like, the fitness training we did back then was incredible down around the Mardyke. And we used to go out training out in the farm. Used to get a bus out to the farm maybe about 1 o'clock. And the Munster rugby team used to train sometimes out there as well. And remember, they used to be getting into these ice buckets. And we thought it was kind of science way ahead of their time. Because all they were doing was getting into kind of an old bucket of ice, really. And it was a great time. Like, the players I would have played against that time, Sedanto Halbeen was a brilliant Fitzgibbon Cup player. Shefflin, JJ Delaney, Michael the Brick Welch from Waterford, up playing against the likes of the UCGs and that as well. So there was Owen Kelly and these guys were playing down there as well. So there's huge inter-county stars playing Fitzgibbon Cup as well.
I don't know how on top of the sort of calendar for the current college players and how much time they get to spend together, but when you were playing those who ended up being rivals, would you have spent a lot of time together? Would you have got to know them really well? Was that something that throughout your long inter-county career that would have really stood to you?
Yeah, Tom Kenny from Cork would have been on the Cork team at the time, and he was in college with us. Mark O'Connor is down there, Rory O'Doherty, a few Tipperary lads. Mark O'Leary, that played for Tipperary, scored a goal or two in the 2001 All-Ireland. He came into the college. John Brown, the great Black Rock man, he was great, actually helped to me when I went into college first, because with that time first years could play Fitzgibbon Cup. Now you can't. You have to play in the Freshers All Ireland Championship. But John Brown was, he was doing, I think, dentistry, dentistry or medicine down in UCC that time. So he would have been there a good number of years. So he'd been much older than ourselves. But he kind of looked after it as if you were his little brother, kind of. And he used to be fullback. I was cornerback. And, you know, you just felt safe around him. And Big Browner, we used to call him. But yeah, and Black Rockshire team steeped in Cork history as well. You know, the Cashmans and Jim Cashman's nephew, David Cashman, was on the squad. And we thought that was great, you know. And UCC was such a traditional, and like they won loads of Fitzgibbon Cups before we went down. It was kind of just a matter of going down there and winning one. But they were a lot harder to win than we thought.
That love that you spoke about there that sort of attracted you to Cork of Christy Ring, like, where did that come from? Because Christy Ring was dead by before you were even born. Was this through like old videos, just people telling tales? Like, where did that come from?
It just came from, I'd be the same with soccer and rugby or all American football. You're always looking at the best players. And sure, at that time, you know, I was just steeped in hurling. So Christy Ring was without doubt the greatest hurler that ever played a game, according to most people. So that's probably where the fascination came from.
Just before we leave the Fitzgibbon, DJ Carey was obviously over IT Carlo, and like we're talking about where they've come from there to be able to contend in a Fitzgibbon Cup final. And it's brilliant to see DJ back, and DJ being back appreciated again. He'd had probably a tough few years health-wise, and now he's very much at Fields in the mix. God knows when it'll ever happen, to succeed Brian Cody. That when we're talking about whether it's Shefflin or whether it's DJ, that again, there's a proper warmth and appreciation and acknowledgement of just how great a hurling man he's been.
Yeah, and DJ was a wizard, you see. He had a great hurling brain. So when he's down in the likes of the Carlow ITs, he's kind of, like JJ Delaney would have been much the same. He's kind of teaching them through how he used to view hurling, and these kind of geniuses view hurling very simply, but to us, it's not so simple. And he's kind of passing on that. And it's no surprise that, you know, the likes of the Carlow ITs and the players underneath the likes of DJ are performing very, very well. And like, if you go through the team last night, there was a load of Wexford lads, Carlow lads, Kilkenny lads, Laois lads spread right throughout the team. So it wasn't just the main dominant hurling counties that are maybe after being drafted into Carlow IT to win them a Fitzgibbon Cup. They're coming from all the surrounding areas, and like they're all performing, you know, really, really well. And that was for all to be seen last night.
Shane Conway was very much the man in those closing stages as UCC came from behind to win it. Kerry Hurler, described by his manager Tom Kingston, as the Messi of hurling. He's playing at that level. He's playing in Division 2 at the moment, where we don't get to see a huge amount of him. We don't see him on our television screens 5-6 times every summer. Have you seen much of him, and just how good is he?
Yeah, I haven't. I've only watched him in the few of the Fitzgibbon Cup games that I've seen. So he's a guy that I was looking at him taking his frees. Even his socks like looked perfect. I'd say he's one of these really organised perfectionists. And I don't know the man from Adam. His club is Lixnaw, I think the same club as Paul Galvin and him and Fitzmaurice, who were great Kerry footballers, but they always spoke about hurling, and I think they hurled with Lixnaw themselves. So he obviously comes from a club that, you know, although it's down in Kerry, there's strong hurling clubs down in Kerry, and Lixnaw are one of them. But yeah, when you hear the likes of Tom Kingston saying that about Shane Conway, and this is just a step off the inter-county set up, really, Nathan, because when you look at some of the subs that were there, they're on senior inter-county teams and panels, and they can't get on these Fitzgibbon Cup teams. So Conway has done it, and with the Fitzgibbon Cup, if you have a good free taker and a good goalie, you'll always go, you know, a long way in that competition. And Conway was unerring, and he got 1 point in the second half from about 80 yards as well. So when you win a game by a point, it's all them small things that count. And he was unerring from frees when they needed him most.
Yeah, Kerry tipping along nicely as well in Division 2A. They've won their opening two matches, so they're level on 4 points with Antrim at the top of that. In Division 1, so the lay of the land after having that break last weekend, Division 1A, Limerick and Waterford have both won their first two matches. They're on 4 points. They meet this weekend. Then you've Galway and Cork with 1 win from 2, and Tip and Westmeath both waiting for their first victory. And in Division 1B, Kilkenny and Clare, 2 wins from 2. Wexford and Dublin, 1 win, 1 defeat. And Laois and Carlow, both waiting for their first victory. The Limerick Waterford game, so this is in LIT Gaelic grounds, Saturday evening, 7 o'clock, under the lights, comes exactly 3 months before they'll be back in the same venue in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship. Waterford under Liam Cahill, I know you've been playing your own hurling, so I'm not sure how much you've been able to see. Have you noticed much of a change? Has there been a transition in style of play for Waterford since Pádraig Fanning left, and very much from the Derek McGrath era?
They definitely have more guys up front. Whether they have the full six up front, I don't think you can really look at hurling that way. I don't think anyone goes nearly with the six guys up front anymore. What I would see is a huge change in their energy levels and their tackling and their work rate. I think the last 2 years, Nathan, they have kind of lost their confidence and they lost their way a little bit after having a few great years in the first few years of Derek McGrath. And I think, like Tipperary last year, when Liam Sheedy kind of, he battled down the hatches, he got the guys from Tipperary that were there a long time, the guys were there only a short time, they made huge sacrifices in missing this, missing that. The work rate in the league games, although they mightn't have been winning many of their league games, their work rate was savage, led by their captain, Seamus Callanan. And I saw the very same at Waterford a few weeks ago against Cork. They went two goals down after a couple of minutes, but they battled in, they dug in, they put their foot in where other lads wouldn't put their hurl, and they ground out a win. So I think there's definitely, an identity change really with this Waterford team, and I think it has the Liam Cahill stamp all over it.
What is that stamp? What's the end? By the time we get the championship, when we're watching Waterford and we're seeing them in full flow, what will be the obvious differences tactically? Is it just that they'll be a little bit more ambitious, that they'll be a bit more willing to push more men forward, or is there a bit more to it than that?
Yeah, well, I never questioned their hurling, Nathan. I always thought, like this time last year, I was predicting them they could go on and win the All-Ireland if they pushed up. That didn't happen, obviously, but their energy levels last year and the year before come championship just weren't where they should be. They were like, and when a player is like that, I know myself, it doesn't matter what kind of training you're doing, it doesn't matter what you're telling yourself in your head you're going to do when the match comes Sunday. When you're like that, there's nothing you can do, really. It has to be a habit, and it has to be kind of a lifestyle that you're living from January. And these guys, just they look like they have a pep in their step. They have a few younger players brought in, like Desi Hutchinson, the great soccer player from across the water, is back with Ballygunner during the winter. And little things like that would give a team confidence because he had a great campaign with Ballygunner in the club championship. Stephen Bennett is full forward. He's after taking over the free taking duties. So that's given him huge confidence. So I think there was never a question about these guys hurling. It was their energy, their confidence. And I think he made his mark before the campaign started. Dropped Noel Connors, who's I don't think even 30 yet. Dropped Maurice Shanahan off the panel. So he was here, listen lads, I'm sending out a message here. I don't care who you are. This is about Waterford hurling, and you'll earn your place in this team. So what it means is, no matter who you are in that team, there'll be no mollycoddling. There'll be none of that. You'll earn your place. And when you get out there, you'll do everything for Waterford. I was down at the first Waterford match in Welsh Park last year in the championship when we thought there'd be fireworks, and there wasn't. I'd expect this year in the first match there will be fireworks.
It had obviously been such a disappointing couple of years for Waterford then. The fact that there is a change in management and that they do seem to have that bit of momentum and that bit of confidence growing back and that energy that you're talking about, does that mean the league is hugely important for them, that they need to go deep into this and they need to keep this momentum flowing? Or is there a part of just learning a bit from a coaching point of view and you're trying to still peak for championship? Because obviously they've fallen flat massively, particularly last year in championship.
Yeah, and we can't forget they got to the league final, and it has hurt a lot of teams that have reached the league final and got beaten, quite handsomely. So, and that happened them up in Croke Park last year, probably knocked the stuffing out of them going into championship. So I wouldn't see it as a major ambition of theirs to go far in the league. If it happens, it happens. But I would say that there can be no drop in standards. There can be no drop in work ethic. There can be no drop in hunger, courage, bravery, all those things. And doesn't matter who they put out, if they go out with that for all their league games, and you will see it. And when you see it is, when you look at maybe a Waterford player like Austin Gleeson, Stephen Bennett, Paddy O'Mahony, maybe young Prunty, when you say, oh my God, how did they make that block? That was unbelievable. You wouldn't have seen that last year. When you start saying little things like that about players, then you know there's a team going places. And the results of the league, I don't think matter hugely. But definitely the attitude and the standard of their energy. And they have to enjoy you too, Nathan. Like sometimes it might be pulled back a little bit, guys. Go out and enjoy it. And yeah, no. So to go far in the league, no. But a drop off, a laziness, no. If that creeps in at all, well then it can happen again come championship.
From Limerick's point of view, so two wins for two from them as well, and we still haven't seen Kyle Hayes, Peter Casey, Shane Dowling, Pat Ryan, Aidan Breen. They've yet to feature in the league. They've used 24 players so far though, John Kiley, and he may well have Keane Lynch, Aaron Gillan, Dermot Burns back to start this weekend. Like, was depth an issue for Limerick last year? Like, when you do analyse their year, like they were so brilliant at times during the league and they only lost by a point in an All-Ireland semi-final, and they've obviously had some issues off the pitch over the winter as well. When you looked at ways they could improve for this year to get back to winning All-Irelands, was depth one of the issues they needed to address?
I don't think so. I think although the subs in 2018 had huge impact coming off the bench in most of their games, and especially the semi-final and final, they didn't probably quite have the same impact last year, even though Shane Dowling did come on against Kilkenny and score a wonder goal. Kind of he batted down the ball into the net from about 14 yards out, which was a great skill in itself. I think, listen, hats off to Limerick. They got caught in the semi-final, I'd say, in the first 20 minutes. They gave Kilkenny too much of a lead, 7 or 8 points, and just couldn't really get back and get in front in that All-Ireland semi-final. But we have to take our hats off to Limerick. They have been the standard bearers. To go out to every match, whether it's a Munster League match, whether it's a National League match, a Munster Championship game or an All-Ireland, every match is an All-Ireland final to them and has been since John Kiley took over. Although the first year was very, very quiet, since then they've been brilliant. And their attitude, their skill, they've brought on the game to a new level in regards to their sharp game. They're able to play both long and short. I think the three boys are so important to them in the half-hour line. Kyle Hayes, Garrod McInerney and Tom Morrissey. I was watching the game against Limerick or against Galway there 2 weeks ago, and they go through Kyle wasn't playing, but the other two guys go through a serious amount of ball. And then you see, they play a short game up around to midfield, and if you have small guys there, tackling is such a huge skill in the game at the moment where you have three lads surround a player. If you have small guys winning the ball there, well, you can't kind of move forward because the lads will just hold you up. They're so strong. But when Morrissey is there, who's huge, Garrod and Kyle, they're huge men, big, strong men. When they get the ball, they just burst through the tackles. So I think they're very important to them and the form that they're in. The one thing they probably would have to be careful of is, Nathan, is, and it has happened teams before, they've so many players playing now that the danger is, come the first round of the championship, John Kiley is wondering who he's going to pick. He's nearly too many players to pick from. He'd want to be settling down maybe 12 of the team and then maybe three places up for grabs by the end of this league.
Yeah, how important was that sort of stability for you in your career? Because you obviously moved around at certain times, but heading into a championship season that you knew when you looked to your left, to your right, exactly who that person and who that personality will be.
Well, I didn't mind that. As long as I was there, I was happy. But, but it did mean a huge amount to yourself as regards, if you knew, listen, if I'm in form or, you know, things aren't going too bad, I should be, you know, one of the names on the team sheet. I think that is huge for confidence because it means that when you go out in a game, you're going out to enjoy it. You're going out to take over the field. You're going out to be the best player on the field. You're not going out watching over your shoulder. So I definitely do think it's important that you do settle down, you know, a number of the places anyway, maybe 11 or 12. You can't have a totally settled team, but I think you need most of the players that they can go out and have a bad first 10 minutes and know they're not going to be hauled off. So I would think that would be important that, like you say, Dermot Burns, like everyone thinks that maybe the best players, they never suffer from a lack of confidence. We've seen through all the autobiographies that have come out, whether it's hurlers or footballers, they all suffer with the same insecurities as anybody. So if you have one of your best players and you're kind of hauling them off or you're not picking them for certain games, well, why would you dent his confidence? Why would you give him insecurities going out into a match? You want him going out thinking he's going to take over the world. So I would see that now with the likes of the Dermot Burnses and the Keane Lynches and these guys, that by the end of this league, give these guys their game and trust them. And I I would point out Noel McGrath and Seamus Callanan last year started on fire, then went through a few kind of quiet matches in the league. But when it came to it, when they really needed these boys, the All-Ireland semi-final against Wexford, them boys knew that Liam Sheedy trusted them, and they performed when the need was most.
So why do you think John Kiely is operating like that? Like, is it that they didn't go the whole way last year and maybe seen some things in the squad that he needs to keep people on their toes?
I don't know. I think, you see, it's a different championship now where, you know, you're not going to get away with 18 or 19 players because there's so many matches. So I'd say he's just trying to find out who can perform on the big day and who he can trust and who's informed this year, because players go through different cycles. They might just, you know, go through, you know, bad years even. So I'd say he's just seeing who's in form, who can I trust come championship. And like, he'll need, you know, he's going to need 22 or 3 players that will be start on various days. You have injuries and whatnot. So, like, I've no problem. What he's doing is perfect, because if you've seen his interviews, you'll earn your place on this Limerick team. So he's not just picking a lad, giving him chance. He's seen him in training. He's seen him in maybe earlier matches, saw what he liked, and he's picking him and giving him another chance. So I'd say he wants to do that for a couple of games. And, like, you know, listen, I'm only thinking by the end of the league, the last two matches maybe, that's when you want to settle down your team for championship.
The other, the big games of the weekend, Galway-Tipperary, Pearse Stadium, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Joe Canning, they're expecting, should be fit for that game, which is a huge boost, obviously, for Galway. And in Division 1B, Wexford against Kilkenny. I presume all the Ballyhale, Tullerone players, your brother, are all back in at this stage with Kilkenny?
Yeah, I think they're back in all right. I'm not sure whether they'll be playing or not Sunday. So, you know, I'd say they don't even know that. But, you know, so we'll see.
You sound like you know something.
I don't. But no, I don't know. Like, in fairness to him, he's managing them all differently. Mm. And some of them he's giving a rest and other he's bringing back. So I don't really know.
And are there new faces? Are there players who've stood up for Ballyhale during that campaign that Cody's keen to get in?
Well, to be players that I would be keen to get in anyway. Yeah. Owen Cody, Evan, like, Owen Cody is one of these, you know, these corner forward, like, I always felt with a corner forward, Nathan, he's not like a midfielder or half back where he's going to be in the game the whole time, so he's going to dominate a game. A corner forward is a guy you could look at him and say, how did he stay on the field? But the key thing is, when you look at the scores after the game, or maybe the assists, he scored 2 points, he scored 1-1, scored 3 points. I think that's always the sign of a good corner forward. And Owen Cody's one of those guys. You'd always see him after his name on the scoreboard, like 2-2 or 2 goals, this kind of a thing. So I'd like to see that guy getting a chance. I would like to see Darren Mullen. I've always been a huge admirer of Darren Mullen. He's Adrian's brother. Darren is brilliant he can read the game. Like, we'll say the likes of Willie O'Connor or the likes of Pádraig Mar from Tipperary, Mark Coleman Cork, he's one of these great readers of the game. And I think in the current game where your backs aren't really marking one-on-one anymore, I think it will be made for him. So I'd like to see the two of them getting a chance.
The lineage is getting confusing in Kilkenny at this stage. So Owen Cody is Henry Shefflin's nephew, is that it?
Yeah, sure. Like, it is amazing, really, the Ballyhale connection. Like, the Reeds, the Shefflins, and the Codys, or sorry, the Reeds, the Shefflins, and the Fenleys. Mm. So all the Mullins, their mam is a Fenley. The Codys, their mam is a Shefflin. Evan Shefflin is obviously a Shefflin. You know, his father is Tommy, a great coach as well. And then she have the Fenleys boys themselves and the Reeds boys themselves. So them three families, like, they're amazing, really. And the lineage that's coming after them. And when you go back up the line again, like, the Fenleys, they're related to Brian Cody's I think basically, say, Colin and Michael's granny would be a sister, I believe, of Brian Cody's mother, like, you know. So when you go back, like, say, Brian Cody would be first cousins now with the likes of Kevin Fenley. Any of our listeners maybe from that would be following hurling right in the 80s and that, like the likes of Ger Fenley and Liam Fenley and Sean Fenley, they're all first cousins.
I didn't realise that.
Brian Cody, and
so the Fenley brothers, yeah, are first cousin of Brian Cody. Wow.
Say Michael and Colin's dad.
Yeah.
Them Fenley brothers, yeah. So, like, the lineage, and, you know, you often heard me speaking about breeding, and you can't be breeding, like, but that's probably just exceptional. You know, to be proud of that in Ballydoyle.
And that's your latest episode of Who Do You Think You Are? Great stuff, Tommy. I hope you've got all that right now, or you'll have caused serious ructions in Ballyhale.
Let's see.
Tommy, great stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, lads.
Cheers.
Good luck. Bye.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.